Ever since I read Raj Patel's book, Stuffed and Starved, more than a decade ago, I've made a point to keep up with his projects. His commitment to shining a light on injustice through a food and sustainability lens is truly peerless. The film, The Ants and the Grasshopper, centers on climate change. Raj co-directed with Zach Piper. Hi, Raj.
Hi, Evan. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. I'm so happy to have you back on. So this film, The Ants and the Grasshopper, I know was a long time coming and kind of morphed as time went on. Can you speak to what the first focus was and how it changed throughout the process?
Originally, we started filming in 2010, and the director back then was the incredible Steve James. He's done films like Hoop Dreams and The Interrupters and A City So Real. And you know, he's got cabinets groaning with awards. And he came to Malawi and helped us kick off some of the filming. But he also, you know, we also filmed in Peru, we filmed in Singapore, we filmed all around the world because what we thought we were doing was sort of a web series when that was a conceivable thing where we would sort of take different stories from different places. And in the end, the money ran out and Steve had to take a step back. But this story in Malawi just wouldn't go away. It just kept developing. So then Steve's protege, Zach Piper, joined me in the filmmaking process, and I became a co-director. And we just followed the story of a community ending hunger and fighting patriarchy in Malawi. And then it took another turn where, first of all, our lead character found out about climate change, and she found out how responsible Americans were for it. And she was so appalled. She came, she said, look, do you need me to come to America to talk to these people? I mean, what are you doing? And when we heard that in the film, you can hear me sort of stutteringly ask, are you serious? Do you want to come to America if it were possible for us to raise the money? And she goes, yes, I would like to come. And she made very clear that she wanted to talk to everybody. She wanted to talk to the president. She wanted to talk to USAID. She wanted to talk to the USDA, talk to the head of the World Bank, to the head of the Gates Foundation. And we approached all of those people to be able to broker those conversations. No one wanted to talk to her. And so in the end, we brought her over just on our credit cards to talk to the people who would talk to her. And in general, those were folk that I knew through my activist work, sort of friends or friends of friends in certain parts of the food system in the United States.
I have to say, watching Anita and Esther realize what America was when they landed and as they start driving through, highways going to visit farmers is gutting. I mean, to see what we look like through those eyes was so emotional for me.
You know, I'm glad you said that. I mean, it was for me too, because a line they said often, we only have it once in the film, but they used to say it almost every day, is that we don't know how lucky we are and we're wasting it. When you look in Malawi and the context in which Anita and Esther find themselves, there's not a whole lot of green around. Whereas we were driving through, the Hudson Valley, we were driving through the Midwest, we were driving through large parts of California that was, to my eyes, fairly parched, but to them was still far greener than what they were used to. And they loved the water. It was really important to them that there was so much green and so many trees, and it was so beautiful. And their view of us was like the view of someone with a spoiled nephew, a sort of bratty nephew who, one day they know will come good, but they want that to happen sooner rather than later for their sake and for ours.
Yeah, I mean, after the visits with the different farmers, who some were quite kind of taken aback and befuddled by her directness, I think, there must have been a huge amount of processing for the two of them after that whole experience. What was it like for them? And then conversely, what was her impact on the folks that she met who may have initially been kind of had their hackles up?
Let's start with Anita's impact on the folk that she met here. I mean, it's a little bit of a spoiler to observe that at least for one person who she met on her journey, the climate skepticism has disappeared. But there was also a deep connection, particularly when they were meeting black farmers in the United States. But when Anita and Esther returned to Malawi, as I say, I mean, I think, you know, there was a certain kind of sadness at what America was and what it is that we are wasting. But it didn't take long even for them, while they were in the United States, to pick up on a couple of things. I mean, you can see in the trailer of The Ants and the Grasshopper that Anita and Esther get very quickly that lies spread fast here, whereas the truth moves very slowly. They understood the information economy that we find ourselves in. We're surrounded by it all the time. It's hard for them to miss it. You know, there's so much misinformation and people believe such ludicrous things about their impact on the planet. And I think they were very frustrated by that. And they came across reasons for that frustration pretty early on as they met this range of climate skeptics. So, I mean, I think their processing of America is both a very sophisticated one where they understand, look, there are some people who are on the front lines, particularly working class and communities of people of color here. But in general, you know, the wealthier Americans and the whiter Americans tended to be insulated from the effects of climate change. And I don't think they needed even to return to Malawi to understand that and to understand the inequities of it. And I think there's one other point that I'm just sort of reflecting on, Evan, that you made me think about when they were in Oakland and they saw poverty there, unlike they'd ever seen before. And they'd seen a lot of people, you know, sleeping rough, and you know, large communities of unhoused people, and they were really quite angry about that. They were angry because they don't understand why they let that happen, and they don't think. You know, we visited a food bank and they were angry about that too because they don't think food banks should exist. They, you know, it's just not something that's in their worldview in Malawi. And I think those kinds of disjunctures, the ones that don't happen in Malawi, people, you know, in general, you know, if you need a very, very expensive operation as one of Anita's nephews did, then actually the government paid to have them fly to India where all expenses were paid while this fairly serious surgery was taken, was done. And then that person was returned to Malawi, you know, not a penny changed hands. And people don't have to do degrading or dangerous work or work in coal-fired power stations, as one of our characters does, in order to be able to afford healthcare. So when Anita and Esther saw the things that people are made to do to earn money or the things that people do in order to be able to get healthcare in the United States, they had no sympathy for it at all.
Can you remind us of the link between the title of your film, The Ants and the Grasshopper, and the fable?
There isn't a link between the Aesop's fable, Ants and the Grasshopper. If you remember, there's a Disney cartoon where most of us came across it, where there's a lazy grasshopper and the ants were beavering away all summer, anting away all summer, if you like, and they get work done and the grasshopper just sort of sits on its haunches and possibly plays a violin. But the moral of that story is that the grasshopper dies and the ants live, so you shouldn't be lazy. But that's not what the ants and the grasshopper means for Anita. Anita sees ants and grasshoppers every day. And what she sees is that tiny ants can overcome a mighty grasshopper, something that a single ant couldn't do by itself, they can do together. So she sees that, you know, if we all were to join together, we would be able to lift something that individually looks insurmountable, things like sexism or changing the way that we eat or climate change. And her point is that it is possible for us to do that because she and her colleagues do that with, in the food system and around social structures in Malawi. But in America, there are so many ants, but none of us are lifting the grasshopper, or so few of us are lifting the grasshopper.
It's really a wonderful film. Thank you so much for making it and for coming on the show and talking to me about it.
Thank you so much, Evan, for having me, as always. And thank you so much for all the work that you're doing.
That was writer and filmmaker Raj Patel. His film is not to be missed. You'll find The Ants and the Grasshopper streaming pretty much everywhere, including Apple and Amazon. In a minute, one of LA's beloved restaurants, Porridge and Puffs, is back after a 3-year break. Why did it close in the first place? And what did Chef Min Fan learn in the process? She spills the tea right here on KCRW. That's next.